Well, good morning, bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2018. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John 4:16. I want to share this morning on "My heart is fixed." I have repeatedly said when teaching or speaking about 1 John 4:16 that you could walk about just about anywhere in the United States and ask somebody, "Do you know God loves you?" And they will say, "Yes." 1 John 4:16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." In referring to this verse, I typically focus on the believing side. We have known and believed the love God hath to us, and not so much on the knowing. Today, I want to take a closer look at the word for have known, and even more so at the little preposition to, T-O, in the phrase, "the love God hath to us." Our work today will involve a more detailed presentation of this wonderful verse, which will add to our intimate knowledge and understanding of just how permanent God's love is. So please bear with me in following along. I know you'll be blessed with the conclusion. In the Greek, "have known" is the word transliterated to our English "ginosko," which indicates a knowledge grounded in personal experience, a clear and pure mental perception. Great general definition. But there are valuable spiritual properties wrapped up in the word ginosko that include the knowledge of things proceeding from the spirit. Ginosko is the opposite of senses perception or carnal knowledge. It is the result of prolonged practice in the sense we have come to know. To have seen with the mind's eye, having a native insight, being born again and having Christ in us, we have become natives of the kingdom of God. You know, they're the ones that were born there, the ones that live there. We call them Native Americans because they were born here. Well, so are we. We were born here. But we kind of like to divide it up a little more. Out east, it's like in New York. New Yorkers take great pleasure in saying, "I'm a native New Yorker." Or in Galveston, Texas, they refer to themselves as BOI, which stands for Born on Island. Wherever you are from, you know the culture a little deeper than others who are not from there. Language and accents can be a clear earmark of what state or metropolitan area a person is from. I'm sure you've picked that up in Chicago. In Massachusetts, park the car. Go park the car. You're going up to see her at her apartment. In New York, forget about it. Remember that as Peter sat by the fire the night Jesus was taken, he was recognized because he spoke in the Galilean language of Northern Aramaic. It says in Mark 14 that Paul was sitting by the fire. Jesus had been taken. Mark 14, verse 70. And a little after, they that stood by said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." With those definitions in mind, it is understandable that even those who agree to "God loves me" may have a mere knowledge, nothing like ginosko. They may have heard a minister say, "God loves you," or maybe have read it on a bumper sticker or saw it on the side of a bus. There's New York. I'm a native New Yorker. I saw it. saw it. Yeah. They may simply know God's love as a smiley face. Back in John 4:16, let's examine the preposition to in the phrase, the love God hath to us. It's transliterated en, E-N. Of course, the preposition to and the transliteration en occur about 2,800 times in King James, and over 1,900 times it is translated as in, I-N, in. It's the word en, but it's also translated in, the one that's mostly translated to. But it is translated a lot of times as in. In verse 16, to would be better translated in. It speaks of that in which any person or thing fundamentally is fixed, implanted, or with which it is intimately connected to or in connection with. Of course, the preposition to and the transliteration, it is God's gift of Holy Spirit, his nature of love that is fundamentally fixed, implanted inside of us. We are intimately connected to the Father. The word en in this verse means in rather than to. Certainly his love is to us, but here it speaks of us believing his love is in us. In verse 16, en is used of the beloved one to whom God, who is love, is wholly joined and to whose power and influence the beloved one is subject. So that the beloved one may be likened to the place in which God's love lives and moves. We are God's dwelling place. He is in us. In Acts 17, I think of Acts 17, for in it says, Paul was speaking to the group there, and he said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." This little word was used in the writings of Paul and John, particularly of an intimate relationship with God or with Christ. Contextually, it carries the idea of power and blessings resulting from the union with God and Christ through the gift of Holy Spirit. It is used in the instance of in Christ throughout the word. When speaking of disciples and worshipers, in Christ denotes that the disciples were amplified and strengthened in the fellowship of God and the consciousness of that fellowship. The disciple is infinitely united with God and Christ. The beloved one is in fellowship and union with Christ. Another way to say it is we are in the power of, we are motivated by, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God's gift in us received at the new birth. We have recognized God's hand upon our lives. We have come to know his love is in us and how it is set in position and at rest in us. No one can remove it. It is God's very nature that we inherited at the new birth. As we saw last week from 2 Peter, we are partakers of his divine nature, that DNA structure we're natives in the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 1:4. It says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." The word share here means to share fully. It doesn't mean that every person gets one share. They estimate there's 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth. You don't get 1.7 billionth of a share. You get everything. Everybody gets the whole thing. We get the whole enchilada. We get the fullness of his nature. We are complete in his DNA. I call it divine nature affection. We're complete in it. It's in us through the gift of Holy Spirit. We are loaded up and ready to bust loose with a kind of love that is out of this world. It's easy to hate and dislike, even to despise, but the world needs this out of this world love. That is what God put within us, and he gave us the authority to use it, and he has told us to give it away, to shed it abroad. The world is starving for love. People are at their worst when they feel unloved and unlovable. They cry out for it. We are partakers, full sharers in this love. So let's give it. In Colossians 2:10, it tells us, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, and I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Hallelujah, Lord. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. There's nothing more that I can do. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing more that I can do. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing more that I can do. Jesus paid it all, and I am complete in him. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. Hallelujah, Lord. Complete, complete, complete in him. I am complete in him. So now we can see even greater the goodness in verse 16. Having been born again of God's Spirit, we have his divine nature. His gift is in us. We are natives of the kingdom of God. We have every part of the love nature of God, and we are complete in him. We share in him in everything, like your children share in your DNA, everything that is there. Because of his Spirit and love in us, we have come to know through personal work and practice and the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we can trust in his love, the same gift and love that made us complete in Christ, keeps us safe in him. His gift is intimately within us. It's settled, firmly fixed, and we are inspired, motivated by the nature of our Heavenly Father that is in us. Now, let's put those depths of meaning to the verse. We have come to know, we didn't just sit in on a teaching where God's love was mentioned. No, we have come to know through our personal study and application of the word that God's love is in us to do his will. Then we get to the place that we trust in his love. We have come to know and see the qualities of living like a son or a daughter of the Creator begin to emerge. Our lives begin to take an upward swing in living above the ordinary amount. And it is a full sharing both ways, his love to us and our love to him, Christ's love to us and our love to him, and their love and our love united and dispensed to the world of people who are needing this regenerating love. Let's go to verse 17 of 1 John. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Sure. Herein, in coming to know by experience of walking on the word and trusting in his love in us, our love is made perfect. It is not a renewed mind process where I got to sit there and think, God's love is in me and I love God. I love God and I love people. Okay. What's a good retimery for that? It's in us. It's there. And the Spirit of God is active in you, and it works in you. Our love is made perfect. It's not the renewed mind process. Here we are already walking in the renewed mind because we've come to know that while living for him is our logical service, as it's talked about in Romans chapter 12. In the following manner, our love is brought to completeness. Why? What can we do when our love is brought to completeness? We can have boldness in this very time of life. Confidence, a confidence you will not attain from a self-help book for success. I used to gobble those down like candy. But I was still lacking in many areas of life till I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and started to try to apply his word in my life and in my daily living. And that made a great change for me. A great transformation. Boldness in the absence of fear in speaking boldly. It's a cheerful courage. When we believe God's love is in us, we echo undoubted confidence. We know and believe that God dwells in us and we in him, and we have a bold and cheerful assurance emerging in all we say and do. That's why people love to talk to you. Scholars say many things about these verses in relation to their theology for in the day of judgment. But we read in this verse, it makes it a very clear reference to us being in this world. It's not referring to being unafraid to face God in the day of judgment as God dishes out punishment. It's talking about today in this world, the intimidations that lead us to fear come from the adversary, not from God. But because we have grown to know and to trust his love in us, we are not intimidated by the enemy. We rely on the truth that God's love in us settled and fixed, and our relationship with him in Christ is sure. It's not in limbo. It's not constantly fluctuating. We read that there is no fear in love. Again, this isn't renewed mind work. We have already done that. This is the part, the fruit of the renewed mind, this Holy Spirit, this nature of love and light within us casts out fear. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Light and darkness can't occupy the same place at the same time. So the light that's in us from the Spirit of God that's within us and our walking by the Spirit, our determination to walk by the Spirit, just casts that fear right out. You don't have to worry. How do I get rid of this fear? Let me get another retemery. Retemeries are great. They're a great starting point for you to get your mind going, but get it going to the truths that you know. You know his love is in you. You know you've got that gift of Holy Spirit, and you know that gift works in you. You've seen it work. You've had success with that Spirit of God at work within you. You've gotten into situations you knew exactly what to say and what to do. And maybe sometimes you just reached out and that was the exact thing you needed to do by inspiration. All of these great truths. Boldness is the absence of fear in speaking boldly. It is a cheerful courage. There is no fear in this supernatural love of God. Sorry, Pat Benatar, you're wrong. Love is not a battlefield. We don't cast out fear. The supernatural love casts it out. Cast is the word for hurl. God's love sends fear flying out of our orbit. God has set this to be so because fear has torment. No father wants his children to be tormented. Torturing fears make us forget the promises and the truths associated with our being born again of incorruptible seed. Have you ever felt tormented, tortured? The slavish fear of retribution or punishment nags at people who focus on faults, failures, and missteps in life. Those misgivings steal our living like children who are loved by God, or living like children whom God loves. We begin to wonder if God's love is in us is really genuine. Feelings of not being perfected because of temptations. But remember, temptation's not sin. Giving into the temptation is sin. And remember, Jesus Christ was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin, because he did not give in to the temptation. He knew what to do, and he knew the Spirit of God was at work within him to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he followed that. Temptations are an enticement to sin, whether arising from inward over-desires or outward circumstances. It's a trial or a proving, but the trial is not by our Heavenly Father. Why in the world would he find it necessary to prove or test you? God is almighty. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He already knows the score on the test. So what does he need to test you for? As for temptations, God has provided us a way to escape temptations, and we don't have to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Jesus Christ was tempted in all things like as
we are.
What's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And you know in times God has told you what to do, and you escaped the temptation. You escaped the trouble. I need to be out of this. They're going to be doing, my friends are going to be doing something that's going to be problematic or sinful, and I need to get out of this. I need to go do something else or find some other friends. In James chapter 1, verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." He doesn't tempt people. And the word "tempted" in that verse in James 1, 13 is the same Greek word that's used in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God doesn't do the trying or the testing. The devil does. Who wants us to fail? Well, God wants us to succeed, and then we can shout out, "We win." We know in the final we win, but we can win. We are more than conquerors in every situation. We win. We have one spiritual enemy, and it is not God. Rather, God's archenemy, Satan, the devil, the evil spirit realm, that tests to see if we really have come to know and believe God's love in us. But with the enemy's temptation, God provides an egress, a way out, an escape route. For example, why would God pick on your kids to test your trust in him? He wouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Why would he injure your child? I mean, that's what mafia does, or somebody like that. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. Why would he hurt your child to test you, to see how good you're going to be, how great you're going to be, to see if you're worthy of being a minister or not a minister, or to see if you're worthy of this or that? He doesn't do that kind of stuff. The devil does. And he's good at it. He's good at it. But with the enemy's temptation, God provides an egress, a way out, an escape route. For example, why would God pick on your kids to test your trust in him? He wouldn't. I don't buy into that theology at all. I would not be so brash to lay that at the feet of my Lord and Savior, or at the throne of our Father. that he did something like that to tempt me, to see, just to check me out, see how tough I was. I'm from New York. People say God is good always, much in the same way they say they know he loves them. They simply repeat what somebody has told them. It's a known response. How am I supposed to respond to this? God is good always. But do you really trust him? Do you let that love in your heart guide and direct you? When we have come to know and believe God's love in us, we will not exude the spiritual God's love in us. We will exude the spiritual confidence. We will not be left to wonder why God is giving us illness and troubles all the day long. It's a sad situation when we do not come to know and believe the love God hath for us. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus said that if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Now, how do we come up with lyrics? Sometimes you put mountains that you won't move in front of me. But I still love you. Hooray for me. Been hearing too many Frankie Lane songs. There's an old Frankie Lane song. Lord, you've given me a mountain. And he sings, you've given me a mountain this time that I just cannot climb. I have done all this other stuff, but I can't climb this one. Well, why would he do that if he knows you can't climb it? Would you send your child up to do something that they cannot do? You know, they've never been around the stove, and you say, go in and bake us a cake. You wouldn't do that. God doesn't either. It said, Jesus said that if you have faith and doubt not, so where's the problem? It's got to be me. He said, if you and doubt not, it's me, O Lord. Not proud that I doubted, but then he says, you shall say unto this mountain. Why are we asking him to move the mountain and getting frustrated with him and saying, you know, all this stuff? We're just leading people down a path to feel hurt. They're already hurt. I don't buy that theology at all, and I don't recommend that theology to anybody. God is love and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He loves us, and his love is in us, and our heart, it's fixed. Don't let the adversary fool you that it's gone from your heart. Show that love to God. Jesus told us we can do that. If we don't do it, it won't happen. God would not put a mountain in your way and then withhold the moving of it. The scriptures tell us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. I understand. It seems to me we should become more like the Berean church in Acts 17:11, if you'll turn there. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether those things were so. We hear a lot of things that sound good, but we should do our due diligence and check out to see if those things we heard in a teaching or a song are really so according to the truth and virtue of the scriptures. Do they match the truths we have come to know and believe about God's love being in us? Error based on one's unfortunate experiences will always talk us out of the sure foundation of God's love. It will erode our belief in his love. Maybe not immediately, but down the road, you'll lose your trust and confidence in God. And you'll lose your trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll lose your trust and confidence in the gift of Holy Spirit is actually in you and you actually have eternal life. Psalm 103, verse 10 tells us, God's love for us is perfect, and his complete love in us casts out fear. And he put that love in us, and it is fixed and in place. The enemy tries to tell us we're separated from God because of our sins and how God cannot stand sin. The truth is, God has separated us from our sins because we are his, and he loves us, and he wants us with him. He wants us to be close with him. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear or respect him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed us from him. No, he's removed our transgressions from us. He didn't remove us from himself. I understand troubles. I've had plenty of them myself, and I am far from understanding all the ins and outs that brought them upon me. But I refuse to allow my unfortunate experiences to cause me to sin by laying the blame at God's throne or at the feet of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And also by wondering why he refuses to hear me and deliver me. He is faithful and just. His word liveth and abideth forever. My experiences don't live and abide forever. They're untrustworthy to base anything on. They're just experiences. They happen. But the word liveth and abideth forever. You can absolutely count and trust in his word. It will be there for you. It will hold you up. My heart goes out to those in times of distress and troubles, but to commiserate with them with the body of Christ and glorify the works of the enemy will not help one bit to deliver us. In fact, if the devil sees he's getting free advertisement and glory, he just may give you some more to talk about and sing about. Look at David's heart. He came to know and believe. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. And then Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let's work our minds, and the word of God will work his word in your hearts. His love in you is fixed. It's settled to the end that your heart is fixed. You have nothing to be afraid of. Evil tidings. God bless you. Thank you. Okay.